Well, we all know the mission of Jesus Christ, the reason why the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Word, took on our flesh in Mary's womb, that reason was for the salvation of humanity, and not just in humanity in general, but you in particular, each of us in particular. God became man for you and your salvation, that in place of dying in your transgressions, you might be reconciled and raised to eternal life and know God's peace. But how exactly does Jesus fulfill this mission? He does so in a threefold way, right? This illustrates why we have this image up here, right? He does so as priest, that is, he offers his life as a sacrifice for yours, thereby reconciling you to the Father. He does so as prophet, that is, he proclaims the liberating truth of the gospel amidst a world often full of lies and deceit. The truth will set you free, right? And he does so as king, that is, he governs and orders your life so as to live in accord with that saving truth, if we so permit him and desire it in earnest. So in these last three Sundays of November, Father Brian and I are preaching on this threefold mission of Christ. As we go through these, it's good to reflect upon whether or not you are in a stage in your relationship with God in which you have allowed Jesus to do his priestly work in your life. Are you allowing him to do his prophetic work in your life? Are you allowing him to do his kingly work in your life? And more fundamentally, are you desirous of this threefold work to be accomplished in your life? And here's the key question. That's the key question, right? Are you desirous for Jesus to accomplish this work in your life more than anything else? This is the part that we covered last week in the greatest commandment, being loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There are a lot of distractions in our lives that keep us from doing the most important thing and the very purpose of our lives. And we may not be desirous enough of God to say no to those things that keep us from deepening our relationship with him. What are the things currently in our life that get in the way of God accomplishing this threefold way that he wants to work with us and relate with us? And as you allow him to accomplish this work in your life, the adventure has just begun, because what he has done in your life, in and through the sacramental life of the church and your intimate relationship with him in prayer, he will now call you to accomplish in society, in the people and the world around you. Because we as Christians participate in the accomplishment of this threefold mission of Christ, because we're members of his body. Right, so first, we need to know what it means to be Christ and how that title defines our mission. Right, Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. We all know that. It comes from the Greek Christos, which in Hebrew is Mashiach, or if you anglicize that, it's Messiah. If you translated Messiah into English, it means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. Now, what does it mean to be anointed? To be anointed in the biblical sense signifies that you were set apart for something, and that was indicated by a ritual in which you were anointed with oil, for example, and that setting apart was marked by a ceremony which conferred upon you a divine or holy office. In ancient Israel, there were three primary offices that were marked by a holy anointing. It was priest, prophet, and king. Right? Guess what? That's precisely what happened to each of us at our baptism and confirmation. We were baptized into Christ and confirmed in him, and so his anointing then applies to us who were incorporated into that one body of Christ. That sacred chrism was lathed upon your head, right? Still, my head still feels the same way it did when I was a baby. So you too are anointed ones. So you, as a member of the body of Christ, share in this anointing as Christ, as that is priest, prophet, and king. You may be thinking, now what exactly does that mean? I've never thought myself to be a priest. I've never thought myself to be a prophet. I've never thought myself to be a king or a queen. In fact, it seems kind of weird to think of myself that way. But indeed you are. You may think it's weird because maybe you just don't normally think of yourself as part of Christ himself. Have you laid claim to your Christ, the identity you have in Christ? As part of his body, you have the noble dignity that Christ has. Remember, our first pope, St. Peter, said this to the Christians of the early church, which at times you hear during Mass as well. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people, unquote. And if you think I'm blowing smoke here, 263 popes later, St. John Paul the Great wanted to make this same truth about who we are abundantly clear to all the lay faithful today. He said this, quote, "At the beginning of my pastoral ministry, my aim was to emphasize forcefully the priestly, prophetic, and kingly dignity of the entire people of God. The Second Vatican Council," he says, "has reminded us of the mystery of this power and of the fact that the mission of Christ, priest, prophet, and king, continues in the church. Everyone, the whole people of God, shares in this threefold mission." So our exploration these next three Sundays will not be just a deeper knowledge of who Christ is, but a deeper knowledge of who you are. So this Sunday, we're focusing on the priestly office of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have the exemplar of what it means to be a priest. As we've been hearing in the book of Hebrews in the last few Sundays, Jesus is the eternal high priest. What does a priest do? He offers sacrifice, right? He offers sacrifice, and by that sacrifice accomplishes the work of reconciliation. But what is his sacrifice? Is it a bunch of lambs all the time? No, he's the sacrifice is himself, the unblemished Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is both priest and victim. His entire life is an offering of himself to God for the sake of his bride, the church, reconciling us to God the Father. He sacrifices himself on the altar of the cross, and he continually gives us this one and same sacrifice to this day in the Eucharist that nourishes us. And so because you are incorporated in Christ's identity, you too, as priest, are called to offer yourself as a sacrifice for your salvation and the salvation of the world. Now, what does that actually look like in daily life? St. John Paul the Great states that you are united to Jesus and to his saving sacrifice, quote, "by the offering you make of yourselves and your daily activities." So everything you do throughout the day can be priestly, can be offered as a sacrifice, because when you offer yourself to God, you offer him all that you are and do. Maybe you have a grandfather or a grandmother, or maybe even your own parents who, whenever you had something bad or painful happen to you, or a suffering that you couldn't avoid, what would they say? What would they say? Offer it up. Thank you. So offer it up means uniting your suffering to that of Jesus' suffering in his passion. That's a priestly, what your parents or God grandparents were telling you was to take up your priestly office. Offer it up, right? See the Paschal mystery. By the Paschal mystery, I mean the suffering, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Just as Jesus fulfilled that Paschal mystery in his earthly life here, that same Paschal mystery is being lived out by the mystical body of Christ through time until the end of time. Because you and I are truly members of that body of Christ, our own inevitable suffering that is part and parcel to every life in a fallen world isn't vain and meaningless. Your suffering isn't vain and meaningless, but has salvific value. Speaking of the lay faithful, the Second Vatican Council states this: for their, meaning the lay faithful, their work, prayers, their ordinary married and family life, their daily labor, their mental and physical relaxation, if carried out in the Spirit, and even the hardships of daily life, if patiently borne, all of these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So your life is priestly. Right? This may sound a little theological, so let's take something more familiar. What the widow at Zarephath did in sacrificing her food to Ezekiel was a priestly act. And what happened? She got more than in blessing from giving, from sacrificing. What happened to the widows, to the widow in the gospel who offered up her mite, the widow's mite, 2 coins, all she had. But in return, she's praised by Jesus and lifted up above all the others. All the rich people in there didn't give what she gave. So in our sacrificial, in our generous sacrifices for the advancement of the kingdom and for the building up of the church, we are doing a priestly act. And for those who are married, you certainly know that married life is a priestly act, right? How many rings are there in marriage? Well, somebody said 2. That's 2. It does involve the engagement ring. There's actually 3. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring, right? And that suffering doesn't necessarily mean the marriage is bad, because marriage always entails a dying to oneself, right? It entails sacrificing in love for one another, putting up with one another's, you know, annoying habits, for example, that doesn't seem to go away, right? This is living out the priestly dimension of your vocation, sharing in the mission of Christ who bore the sufferings caused by our transgressions. You know, today is Diocesan Marriage Day, Sunday is, so we'll be doing a blessing, by the way, for our married folks after the Our Father today. You parents, what do you do for your children? You sacrifice for them out of love. That's a priestly act. You reconcile the members of the family with one another. Priestly act, right? Part of the reason why we have so many broken marriages and families in the world is we forget this dimension of our vocation, right? One or both of the spouses abdicate the priestly dimension of their vocation. Because we love the distractions of the world, we hesitate to sacrifice them to do the important work of reconciliation. Because the world tells us that we come first, we allow our sense of self-importance or pride to get in the way of our work of reconciliation and forgiveness. And for people who do not have God in their life, it's hard to blame them, because without Jesus, the healer, the divine physician, in our life to heal our wounds and to accept his forgiveness, it's tough to be an agent of reconciliation when we're so hurting. Right? Look around our world. There are a lot of transgressions going on. We absolutely need Jesus in our lives to receive the grace, the power to take what the world dishes out and not be consumed by all the contempt and division. Will we perpetuate the cycle of violence, or will we take up the charge God gives us to reconcile humanity with God as his priests? That's the work of the priest, right? That's your charge. It doesn't mean that we tolerate evil any more than Jesus tolerated evil. But it does mean that we don't stoop down to evil's level in fighting. So to live who you are, to live as a priest, one who offers the sacrifice of yourself and offers God, to God all that you do day in and day out, and unites our sacrifice to the one sacrifice of Christ for the work of reconciliation and the salvation of the world, right? And by the way, when those gifts come up, you place everything that you went through, say, you know that saying, place it on the paten. Place in that ciborium everything that you suffered, did, joys, sorrows, all that stuff on that paten, so that when it comes here, it's transformed and is lifted up and offered to the Father to be part of the salvation of the world, the sacrifice to God, right? So I want to conclude this homily with the traditional prayer called the morning offering. Maybe you learned this from your own parents, but it's in most every Catholic book of prayers, and it's a very priestly prayer that dedicates all that you are and all that you do that day, and unites it to the one sacrifice of Jesus. I'll print it in a future bulletin article for your ease, but pray it with me now by repeating in the silence of your heart this prayer. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. For all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular, for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen.